With the 36th pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Miles Jack, linebacker, UCLA.
That is an awesome pick. I mean, he's a draftable tailback. He's a top five pick. All the rumors were Jacksonville in the first round, and they came back, traded up, got him in the second.
I've seen the guy line up number one receivers. I've seen him cover tight ends. I've seen him play running back. I've seen him flat back offensive guard. So he's got a rare combination and skill set that we just felt like it was time to pull the trigger. The risk was worth the reward.
This is honestly the place I wanted to be at. I was telling everybody, you know, before the draft, like, if I could choose a place to come, it would be Jacksonville, just with the, really just starting with the head man, Gus Bradley. He's an honorable man. Me and him connected really quick. I felt like, you know, I could trust him in everything, and just where the program is heading, I feel like it was a great place to be a part of.
Now, from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and John Osher.
All right, Johnny O will be along for hour number two this morning on Jaguars Today. That gives us time to spend with you in the first hour if you'd like to be a part of the program and sound off on your Jags, whether you had a chance to do that on any of the postgame shows yesterday or this morning on the drill. You're welcome to share your opinion with us here at 641-1010. It's also the text line driven by Duval Ford today. Pretty simple question of the day for you, brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships. You can hit us up on Twitter or Facebook or any other method for that matter. Maybe wrap a note around a stone and, I don't know, maybe throw it in my front yard. Don't throw it through the window if you can help it. That would cost me money. But anyway, you get the idea. The question of the day is, after a night to sleep on it, what is your reaction to the Jags' loss to the Packers yesterday? What, and you can take that in any direction you want. You can talk about the quality of how they played. You can talk about your frustration level. You can talk about anything you like. I do think, Tony, it's like politics in this country, right? There's a political divide in this country. And there are, if 50% of the people on one side and 50% on the other, 90% of those 50% seem to have no wiggle room. They think the others, they demonize the other side on both sides, right?
Yeah, that's
and then
how it
there's
works.
There's some people that can kind of see the edges and understand the nuance. I feel like there's that developing, or maybe it's long developed here in the fan base, in that you've got the one hand, the people who we hear it all the time, we see it, we get feedback from people. We don't make these things up. People say, you know what? I feel pretty good, man. Glass is half full. I just got one literally that said glass is half full. Here we're much more competitive. We're going toe-to-toe with a good team. We had a chance to pull this game out in the final moments. And you got the other side that people saying, that's it. You're on the payroll. No excuses. You can't say anything positive about this team. L, that's it. L, 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 L. I kind of understand both sides, but there's a little nuance, right? I mean, we don't want to be Pollyanna forever and go, gee, good try, right? That's not what professional sports is about. It's not about good try. But at the same time, do not recognize on the other side that, yes, in defeat, they did play, as Jeff put it, a very complete game. They didn't complete the victory, but they played. They went toe-to-toe with the Green Bay Packers. There's got to be some, I guess there doesn't have to be, but it strikes me the separation, the gulf between two segments of the fan base that are out there.
Well, look, you can talk about an L and some of the things that happen in a loss, and in the end, it's still a loss. The totality of it is they lost the game that they had an opportunity to win against the Green Bay Packers at home after an offseason of all this swelling momentum for it. You could feel it in that game in the fourth quarter. Anyone who was watching that football game, that after the Jaguars had to blow the timeouts, and we can talk about having to do that there in the fourth quarter of that football game before they got the ball with an opportunity to really win that game. But when they blow those timeouts and they get the field goal and they have to give the ball back to Aaron Rodgers with 5 minutes and no timeouts on the clock for the Jags, anyone who's been watching football in Jacksonville or Green Bay for the past 3 years thought it was over. Done. No chance. Aaron Rodgers is going to come on this field. He's going to get two first downs and this ball game's over. There's nothing they're going to be able to do about it. They got a three and out. In that situation,
the fourth of the game,
this team got a three and out against Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers and got the ball back with their best unit back on the field and an opportunity to go win the game. When Rodgers got the ball with 5 minutes left, I thought it was done deal. This game is over. When the Jaguars got the ball back with 2.5 minutes left, I thought done deal. Jags are going to go win this football game. That's how I felt watching it. And the idea that they got the three and out is huge. And like you said, Mike, it's the fourth time they had done it to Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers in that football game yesterday.
Kudos to Nortman for pinning them inside the five two of those occasions.
No doubt. The idea that the offense didn't come through and the insanity of that fourth and one play call. No one will convince me that that is the right call in that situation. I understand if they execute it, it gives them an opportunity to score. If they execute a slant, it gives them an opportunity to score.
Tony, you can throw it backwards 50 yards and then throw a Hail Mary off that. And if you execute that, it would work, right?
Right.
If you execute it.
If you execute just the simple part of catching the football a yard down the field as opposed to 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage, then the play worked.
Right, because there are three things you need to do compared to one. If you run a quick slant, all you need to do is catch the football, right? And then you've got a first down, okay? On this play, you've got to execute the catch, which they did. Then you've got to elude the defender, right? Or you've got to make the block. You've got
to
make the block.
Which is still going to have to outrun
that. And then you've got to still beat the guy the distance. So there's three things you've got to do as opposed to just turn around and catch the ball, take a step and turn around and catch the ball.
Yeah.
I don't understand throwing it behind the line of scrimmage on a fourth and one play with the game on the line. Don't understand it at all. And I hear this morning, I think Tony Boselli was saying on the drill, I know we got to get to break here, but he's saying that they thought they had the first down. Well, that's all, you got to know what you got. I mean, the refs hold
what?
He said, correct me if I'm wrong, but I heard Tony this morning on the drill saying that Greg Olsen initially thought they had picked up on third down, that they had picked up enough yardage to get the first down. And so that when he's sending in a play call, he's thinking it's a first down, okay? And they gave a run pass option, and then keep in mind, they have no timeouts,
right?
And so if that's the case, that's terrible. How do you not know what the down is? The referee indicates what the down is. You can't just assume that looked like a first down. I'm going to call a play as if we have more shots at it here.
They had an incomplete pass on third down, didn't they?
I thought Rashad Green. Am I wrong?
Let me go look.
About the sequence? I'm pretty sure that's what he said. You know what? Let's do this. Let's take a timeout. Let's come back so I don't confuse the issue any further. But we want to open up the phone line so you're coming back on the other side as well. And we'll deal with this coming up. Regardless, first down, fourth down, don't like the play call.
No, it's terrible.
Not when you need a yard in that instance, particularly knowing it's fourth and one.
Third down, incomplete over the middle to Rashad, or incomplete to Rashad Green. So, yeah, it was an incomplete pass on third down.
Okay, so I don't know what he was talking about.
I didn't hear
then.
Tony this
morning. I heard him this morning say that, and maybe I misunderstood. So we'll leave that out. Then clearly you should know it's fourth and one.
And Green Bay called a timeout after that play as well, so they had an extra time to figure out.
All the time in the world.
Right.
All right. All right, forget it. It's terrible. You can't throw it laterally. You can't throw it backwards. Whatever. Even if it's not technically backwards, he's catching it behind the line of scrimmage when you need 1 yard. And I get it. Zero coverage. You got to beat your man. Blah, blah, blah. If it had worked, it didn't work. Okay? It did not work. And, yeah, if anything, you could have called some crazy play. And just because a play works doesn't mean it's the right call. You know what I'm saying, right? I mean, like, in an instance where if you're given the choice, and this is silly, but if you're given the choice to kick a 20-yard field goal or a 50-yard field goal, just because you choose to kick the 50-yarder and make it doesn't make it the right choice. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're just making things more difficult for yourself.
You made it more difficult on yourself, and maybe you'll be successful anyway, but you're not giving yourself, in my opinion, the best chance to succeed on that play. We got to take a timeout. We'll come back. Get your reaction. Jags, Packers, 0-1. For your Jacksonville Jaguars, it's Jaguars Today. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Shotgun for Bortles. They show blitz. Why not? They've blitzed all day. They throw it. It is caught. Hearns didn't get there. They threw it in the backfield. Hearns did not get there. He needed a yard. He got about a half yard. Green Bay takes over on downs. They threw a ball in the backfield to Allen Hearns, and he is tackled shy of the line to make.
You know, I believe it's we have a run pass option based on the look. So if it was on the perimeter, we got to catch it and get the first down.
All right, I think I cleared up my own personal confusion. I think I did, okay? Just not to belabor this point, because it's not the be-all, end-all of the game yesterday, although it's the final meaningful play. I believe what Tony Boselli was saying this morning was on the second down catch by Rashad Greene, they thought they had the first down. So maybe if they realized it was going to be a third and one, they would have sent in something like a quarterback sneak. I think that's what he was saying. And then maybe they would have had the chance to pick it up there. And if they didn't, they'd still be able to go for it on fourth down. That may be the case. Bottom line is, as we pointed out looking at the play-by-play sequence, Green Bay called a timeout. There was no question. It was fourth and one, right? And that's the play you called. And I, you know, look, we're all sideline armchair quarterbacks, and that's great, but we are. That's what we do.
Well, and it would be different if you and I came in here every week after these game days and complained about play calling, but we don't. I don't know enough about play calling to get on him every week, right? I was critical last year when they didn't run the ball more against San Diego because San Diego can't stop the run for anybody last year. I was critical of some other stuff at times last year, but it's not like we make it a point to come in every week and say, Greg Olsen sucks at calling plays, no. And this is why. This is a horrifically bad play call to me. When you need 1 yard to keep the game going and you throw it 3 yards backwards, it's a bad play. It shouldn't be in there.
I'm with you. And you're right. I mean, there are plenty of times people say, why do you call this? Well, you call things because you think they'll work, right? And I get that. But in this instance, there's no second chance. If it doesn't work, you have to get past the sticks. It's not just completing the catch. They completed the catch, but then you're asking for the block to be made properly. And I'm not saying this is above the talent level of what they're capable of, but guys are out there trying to stop you from doing it as well. Right? You got these big bodies. Take a step, turn to the inside. You're across the goal, the line to gain. Catch it, first down, boom. Get up there, spike the ball, throw a couple in the end zone, and see if you can pull out a victory. All right, 6-4-1-10-10. That's not the only focus, certainly that one play. Let's get to the phone calls this morning. Eric in Ponte Vedra leads things off. Good morning, Eric.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good. What's up?
Good. Well, okay, so a great game. They played their hearts out. My biggest issue with the game was bringing back to Jonathan Cyprien again. He missed so many tackles. To me, it's bad coaching to leave that guy in there the rest of the game, and they continue to do it. They continue to have faith, and he continues to keep messing up play after play. I want you to rewatch the film and watch him play, how many tackles he misses, and he is nowhere where he's supposed to be every single time.
All right. I mean, I don't know how many tackles he missed yesterday, and that may be the case. I know he missed the one on Eddie Lacy badly. He didn't miss it. He just failed to make. He was on him. He hit him. He just didn't wrap him up, didn't take him down, and then he was able to run away. Joe Fortunato, don't cut off my mic in the middle of my sentence there. If you don't get angry with me, Joe. All right. Oh, it was just my headset. All right. this messing with Joe. Look, I'll say this about substitute. I think Jonathan Cyprien's well past the point of being on scholarship, right? Being a high draft pick for this team. I don't think they're putting him out there because they feel some sense of obligation to him or anything like that. I say this all the time. People say, it can't get any worse. Try somebody else. It can get worse, and they know what their personnel is. Cyprien also made a bunch of tackles yesterday. I'm not saying he played a great game or anything like that. Again, the pass interference, I said it immediately after game. I said it when it happened. It was an atrocious call on him. That led, I think, without that play, I don't know if they score a touchdown at the end of the half. You know, that's a big chunk of yardage to pick up to start off a drive. Look, Sip's not a perfect player. There's no question about it.
No, and look, he's got to make that tackle his rookie year.
The Eddie Lacy one.
Yeah,
no,
I mean,
question about that.
At this point in time, they just can't afford to have those kind of misplays, missed opportunities. That's a 2nd and 14.
Slide to his ankle and wait for help. Just hang on to that ankle and wait for help.
I mean, that's just the play that you got to make. And Cyprien is going to be, you know, a target for a lot of anger and has been for the last couple of years. And I think a lot of it is deserved with the kind of play that they've gotten from him. And again, this is a guy that they took at the top of the second round because they thought he would be a playmaking player for them in that position. And he just hasn't turned into that to this point in his career. Like you said, I think he's off scholarship. I think he's also because of the injury to Sample.
And that's the thing.
Who
right?
knows how much Sample would have pushed him, or if they had Sample available in that game yesterday, if that's a guy they're putting in when they see Cyprian miss that kind of tackle. I don't know that you're going to throw Peyton Thompson out there to replace Jonathan Cyprian. Now, maybe they should. I don't know, but I don't see practice, and I don't see what they're doing with trying to get that whole defense together, especially on that back end, which I thought really played pretty darn well in the game yesterday when everything is said and done. But the tackle, that miss, it can't happen.
Right. That's a blatant example. And look, nobody here is trying to absolve Jonathan Cyprian of anything. I just, you know, that was a really bad play. The PI, I don't think, should be held against him. I didn't think outside of the, you take those two plays out of it, I didn't think it was a horrible day. Maybe I need to go back and watch the film. Maybe there are a bunch of missed tackles that he needs to account for.
He got beaten coverage a couple times by Richard Rodgers.
He's going to get beaten coverage sometimes. Guess what? I mean, that's who he is. And I'm not saying that, look, nobody is going to shut down everybody every single time. I'm not trying to make excuses for Cyprian. I just think, you know, when people say, why do they keep putting that guy out there? The coaching staff knows they need to win. They're not doing it out of a sense of devotion to Jonathan Cyprian or despite themselves. They think that is currently the best option they have. And you're right, Tony. The James Sample, the fact that he can't stay healthy or hasn't been able to stay healthy, who knows what the picture would look like? Because I really thought this summer he would push him out of the starting spot.
Sure.
And it wasn't materializing anyway, but then he got hurt and you didn't even have that in-game option to fall back to. 6-4-1-10-10. Let's go to another one here. Let's see. We got Harold on the west side. Hi, Harold. How are you?
What's going on, guys?
What's
up? You guys touched on a little bit of already, and I don't want to pick on the defense too much because I do think they stood their own. But a couple things that I have a problem with. One, I have a problem with Miles Jack not seeing a single down in the game yesterday. You're talking about 120-degree heat, and a guy who is your backup in two of the three linebacker spots doesn't see a down, never mind the fact that you can make an argument he's the most physically gifted player on defense right now. I have a huge problem with that. And then like you guys were saying about Cyprian, you know, I don't know if when Colvin comes back, if I want to be willing to sacrifice the whole year of what Ramsey could learn at corner by moving him to safety. But they got to do something because Cyprian is definitely he's a liability in coverage, and everyone who defends him says, "Oh yeah, but he'll come up and put a hit on you." And then you see what he did against Eddie Lacy yesterday. It's like, well, what does he do well? That being said, the offense, the bubble screen, yeah, I mean, you get your receivers outside of one-on-one coverage. Your starting receivers are known around the league for being guys who catch anything you throw at them. I don't see how Green Bay would have been able to defend the slant, or like Bastelli was even saying earlier this morning, throw to the end zone, but. As far as my overall feelings for the game, you know, I'm going to have to hold back how I feel because, to be honest with you, I have to see how this team plays next week on the road in San Diego. It's a place where they've historically played terrible before I know if this was just a flash in the pan or if it is a true indication of the Jaguars being a better team this year. I think that the book is still open on what this performance truly means for the Jags.
All right, Harold, thank you. I don't think they're – I mean, I'll never say never. I don't know what goes on in the private discussions, you know, but rare, I think, would it be for an NFL team to say, this is our potentially top cover shutdown corner. Let's move him to strong safety.
Yeah, it's not
going to
happen.
Just not, it's such a less important. Every position is important, but having a true lockdown corner is so much more important than having a free or a strong safety who's good in coverage. It just is. Again, maybe the best combination ultimately would be something like that, at least for the short term, because you're not going to waste Ramsey's potential long term there. And I say waste because, again, the most valuable positions we always talk about is going in the draft, Tony, in no particular order, quarterback, defensive end, cornerback, and left tackle, right, or blindside pass protector are typically considered the most or among the most important positions out there. And there's a reason for that. That's where the big money gets paid in the National Football League, because those are the positions that ultimately, more often than not, dictate the outcome of games.
Yeah, and I think maybe if you want to look at it from the perspective of stopping so committed to what your defense is or what it's supposed to be called, right? Like, you watch Arizona last night, and I know they lost the game to New England, but that's been a successful defense for the past 3 or 4 years, and they don't really have, you know, that strong and free safety. They have a bunch of really good athletes that can cover guys that play in that secondary, and they move them all over the place. And that's in part because they got a guy like Tyrann Mathieu, who is such a versatile playmaking guy. But if Jalen Ramsey is anybody on this team, though, in that comparison, he's more like Patrick Peterson than he is a guy like Tyrann Mathieu, where you expect him to potentially be a guy that you just say, take that guy away for us. So that's not the guy you're going to be moving to safety, even if you just make it a thing where we're going to put our five best athletes in the secondary and let them run around. He's still going to be a shutdown corner type guy.
Yeah, we got a break here, but as to Harold's point about let's see how they go going forward. If they go 3-1, and then this was an indicator of, man, they're coming to play this year, and, oh, it's still gonna bother us that we let one get away, but, man, they really are a different team. Then it's all going to be fine.
Yeah.
Got to go.
They
got to
do it.
Go beat San Diego, I don't know what Keenan Allen's final prognosis was yesterday. Last I saw, he needed to get an MRI, but chances are he's not playing. They just got gut punched on the road. Go beat that team. Go beat a Baltimore team who had nothing going offensively yesterday, and then go beat a Colts team that plays no defense whatsoever. You watched that yesterday as well. At least they gave you a little bit of solace late in the afternoon.
Yeah, I put it out there yesterday when I got home, and I'm dead serious about this. I think the Jags win by 2 touchdowns in San Diego.
I hope so.
I really do.
They need to win the next 3 games. These 3 are games that they should win, in my opinion. Not that they can. Green Bay was a game they could win, not necessarily one that they should win. But these next 3, I don't think, are in that category. All right, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, more of your calls coming up at 641-1010. The first week of the NFL season, almost officially in the books. You got Monday Night Football. How did your fantasy football teams do this week? I had some good. I had some bad. That's what happens sometimes in opening week, but we hope you got in on the fun over at FanDuel. It's not too late. Week 2 is coming right up. You can start looking at some of the players and matchups already. And wait a minute. I can pick whatever players I want? Yes. Have you not been paying attention? That's what FanDuel is all about. You got a ton of variety. They have contests just for beginners. So if you're trying it for the first time, you're not playing against a bunch of experienced players necessarily. Go to FanDuel, sign up using my promo code Mike. And if you do, you're going to get up to $50 in free entries. New users who deposit will get 5 free entries to NFL 50-50 beginner contest valued up to $50. You get a free entry a week, every week for 5 weeks. Just go to FanDuel.com, use promo code Mike, and when you're in there, play against us head-to-head in our listener league at FanDuel.com/Mike. Somebody's winning big money in that this week. Still to be determined on Monday Night Football. FanDuel.com, use promo code Mike and get those 5 free entries.
Jaguars Daily is brought to you by Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the official sports medicine provider for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
The Jaguars' 5th consecutive season opening loss was perhaps the most disappointing. Receiver Allen Hurns was stopped short on 4th-and-1 from the Packers' 14-yard line with 23 seconds remaining, allowing Green Bay to escape with a 27-23 win. Here's quarterback Blake Bortles on the 4th-down call.
That was what they were going to do when, kind of called a gotta have a situation. They were a big, bring the house team. So we just got to execute, whether it's, I should have done something differently or whatever. It's 4th-and-1, maybe we are 4th-and-2 or whatever. You just got to get it. If you don't, you lose, I guess.
Now the Jags prepare to head to San Diego in week 2. Kickoff is set for 4:25 Eastern on Sunday. This has been Jaguars Daily brought to you by JOI. I'm Jordan DeArmond.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Asking for your reaction today on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Here's one tweet that said, Gus Bradley lost the game. Well, technically, that is correct because he is the coach of record and he got a loss. So he did lose. Specifically, what are they pointing to? I'm not sure. I'm not saying you're wrong. When you say Gus Bradley lost the game, if you're saying because poor management of timeouts or poor bad this or bad game plan or he should have been more aggressive here, just be more specific.
Yeah, and I think if you want to look at it, look, the timeouts, that was bad. But if Green Bay is giving you a different look, do you stay in a bad play as opposed to take the timeout? I don't know. Maybe they got confused. Maybe the play's getting in too slow. I don't know, the culmination of events really that goes on that causes you to lose all those timeouts earlier than you would like to in those in-game situations. I think the penalties are still an issue, and they were in yesterday's game for this team again. I mean, the 12 men on the field, what are you doing? Those kind of things, that kind of stuff is so frustrating to watch that it's still happening. But I thought the aggressiveness that Gus Bradley showed in that game yesterday kept him in it. honestly. And the decisions he made as far as we're going to go for it on fourth down here, we're going to kick a field goal here. I thought he gave his football team an opportunity to win that game with the way that he coached it. And some of the other stuff, yeah, you can still question it, but I thought Bradley overall did an okay job.
I did too, and we were just discussing off the air, you know, the decision to kick the field goal down seven late. Oh, it was fourth and 13. That was one where, you know, discretion was the better part of valor and all that. I'll say this, Tony. Maybe I must be in the vast minority. Yes, I don't like to be out of timeouts. I don't think that had anything to do with the outcome of this game. They're sitting there. They take a snap on fourth down. It's 23 seconds left. If they complete that pass or they complete the first down, Allen Hurns breaks a tackle, gets first down. You get up there, spike the clock. You still got multiple shots to the end zone. Yeah. Now, if you had run out of time because you only got two shots instead of four, it never even got to that point, though. They couldn't convert. They didn't not convert the fourth down because they ran out of time. As we pointed out, Green Bay had called a timeout right before that play after an incomplete pass, so the clock wasn't rolling. There was no time crunch on that play per se. You knew in the back of your head you couldn't dilly-dally, but I don't think the lack of timeouts are what cost them the football game
no.
at the end. I don't think it had anything to do with the final outcome personally. I think we got Chris in St. Augustine next up here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, you know, I'm way more optimistic than the last callers. Three or four years in a row, this game would have been over before the halftime. And I think they played a great game. Cyprian didn't lose this game. He could have played better, but he didn't lose the game. I think there was a few things they needed to do better. I agree with you. I watched the game, and I thought T.J. Yeldon did all he could do with what the blocking scheme was. You know, but I thought the play calling at the end of the game was bad. And I think you guys have already been touching on it this morning about the screen. But also, when they were around midfield on the last drive, and they ran the ball when they couldn't run the ball all day on first down. Then they threw the ball deep down the sideline on second. I mean, all these superstar quarterbacks have lived on throwing these 5-yard, 8-yard passes for four or five plays in a row and taking the ball right down the field. And they kind of dug themselves a hole. If they would have ran the screen then, I could have understood it, but they ran the screen on the 10. So I really think they didn't even have good play calling, really, that whole second half of the fourth quarter.
I understand your point there. I remember at the time thinking about that because we're sitting in here and we question every call. Was that right? Was that not right? And where'd they get the ball, Tony, with like 2:17 left?
3:17.
Was it 3:17?
Yeah, the run you're talking about there in the middle of the field, I think was getting close to the 2-minute warning.
That's what I thought. There was one just on the other side of the 2-minute warning.
It was like the last time with no timeouts that you could really run the ball if you wanted to.
Right, and to me, I didn't have any issue with that. Because here's the other thing. Remember the end of the first half. And obviously, the goal is to score a touchdown any way possible. You take a touchdown in the very first play. But they scored, left a 1:09 in the end of the first half, and boom, 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 Green Bay came right back down the field and won the game. So I'm not saying you're milking the clock, but at the same, like you said, on the other side of the 2-minute warning, I didn't have any issue with that run. You know,
me either.
Because you get in that situation, and you're thinking, well, they're not running the ball well at all. They're just going to throw. And sometimes that's when you can catch them by surprise. Certainly it didn't work. It wasn't any – to me, it was no big deal one way or the other because they ultimately converted, moved beyond that. They were in position to win the football game. So that one didn't really bother me that much.
No, it didn't bother me either. I think when you talk about the running game in yesterday's contest against Green Bay, I thought it was going to be a key for either side. If one team could have got the run established and the other couldn't, I think they would have had an opportunity to dominate that game. And I think you saw two offenses that everyone thinks are pretty high-powered offenses that couldn't get the run game going in yesterday's game. So the passing game didn't work as well for either team as it usually does when they're able to run the ball, and it became a very evenly contested football game because neither team could really run the ball effectively.
All right, let's go to Justin in Jacksonville Beach up next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Justin.
Listen all the time.
Hey, buddy.
I just want to pick out a play that really grinded my gear the whole dang game was that bobbled interception by Marquise Lee on the first drive. Turned into 7 points. You can't do that against a caliber team like the Packers. He should be listening to Do Your Job in his headphones all pregame. But on a positive note, I think that was a Super Bowl caliber team, and that was a Super Bowl caliber game. And playing against a guy like Rodgers is going to help us out with Rivers next week.
All right, thank you, man. Look, as somebody after the game's like, oh, you know, you're on the payroll. Are you kidding me? They lost to a team. That team, that Packer team's a 9-7 squad or whatever. Whatever, man. You know,
maybe they are. Look, we don't know. We'll see what they turn out to be in 2016.
Should Marquise Lee have caught it? Perhaps.
He says he should.
Right. Don't they all, though?
They do, but they he all. Says he should have helped his quarterback.
Did you think it was behind him a little bit?
Yeah, it was not a great throw.
Right. That, and so I brought that up yesterday in the post game. And keep in mind, we're not watching countless replays of that. We don't have the ability to do that in real time. So we're seeing what we see. And so I say, I think it was. Blake needs to lead his receiver on that. It's a combination. It's on both of them. Right.
Yeah.
That, to me,
the play's there to be made. Honestly, it should have been a first down. Like,
right.
It should have been a first down if Blake puts the ball in the right spot and Marquise catches it. And like, it should have been a successful play, and instead it turned into an interception and a 7-0 deficit.
Blake would tell you he needs to throw it out in front of him. Marquise will tell you he needs to catch it, and they're both right.
They're
both right. They're your professional athletes. But, you know, I like everybody else. I'm listening to the drill on the way in, and, yeah, I had that dreaded feeling of, oh, no, you got to be kidding me, man. A turnover right away deep in your own end.
For 3 years.
Right. And that was it was like a one-off play. There weren't many balls that Blake threw. That there were some ugly balls he threw yesterday. He had the flutter ball going yesterday.
He did.
But it got to where it needed to go most of the time. There weren't many really that I thought were in danger of going to the other team yesterday. Even that one to Allen Robinson, it was a hideous tumbler into the end zone. It was right where it needed to be.
Yeah, it was,
you know,
spinning sideways.
It was not right.
It was like a helicopter. It was like if a football was a helicopter prop, that's what it looked like.
Nevertheless, it gave him a chance in the spot to make the play on it. Hey, you know what? You could probably look at 15 different spots here and there in the game and say that is the reason they lost. The reason they lost, they scored fewer points than the Green Bay Packers
in the
yesterday.
End.
Johnny O's going to come up in about 10 minutes, and he'll join us here. We'll also do this date in football, the Honda Drive around the NFL. Plenty to see in the opening weekend, including got a Monday night doubleheader tonight. Got some interesting stats we'll throw your way from the opening weekend of the NFL season. Take more of your calls at 641-1010. Also check in on the text line as well, driven by Duval Ford. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, it's Jaguars Today, live on a Wild West Guns of Gold Monday, right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. We'll go back to this date, September 12th, 1964, the first football game played at Shea Stadium. First AFL game, it would be the case. Jets defeated Denver 30-6 on that day. 1988, first NFL regular season game played in Phoenix, Arizona. The Cowboys knocked off the Cardinals in that one. And in 2004, the Detroit Lions beat the Chicago Bears 20-16 at Soldier Field. That was significant because it snapped the Lions' NFL record 24-game road losing streak. Famous birthdays for the state, just two. Both of them born on the exact day in 1989. You've got Andrew Luck. He was 27 years old, three-time Pro Bowler, and then you've got a real weapon, Brad Nortman, ladies and gentlemen. Happy birthday to the guy who's currently averaging 62.5 yards per punt. I don't know if two qualifies you for the league lead, Tony, but damn did he boom those two opportunities yesterday and pinned them inside the five. This date in football brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. They're right here in town on Gate Parkway. Call 620-9225 if you're in the market for a family dentist or if you need some cosmetic work done. In the meantime, visit jamesjmccall.com and you can get a complete list of their comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
San Diego wide receiver Keenan Allen was carted off the field yesterday in Kansas City in tears after collapsing to the ground with a non-contact knee injury. Allen is expected to undergo an MRI today to determine the extent of that injury, but the fear is that it is an ACL. Seattle quarterback Russell Wilson suffered an ankle injury during the Seahawks' come-from-behind victory over the Dolphins yesterday. He was able to play through it during the game and throw the game-winning touchdown pass to Doug Baldwin in the closing moments. Ian Rappaport and others are reporting today, however, that the ankle injury could be severe enough to put Wilson's availability for Week 2 in question. Seattle is at Los Angeles next week. Their backup quarterback is rookie Trevon Boykin. For Russ's part, he doesn't seem too concerned about it. He tweeted out this morning, quote, "Hard work pays off, no time to sleep. P.S. See you in L.A. Jimmy Garoppolo and the New England Patriots pulled off the upset last night in the desert 23-21 when Arizona kicker Chandler Catanzaro missed a potential game-winning field goal from 47 yards out. In the loss, Larry Fitzgerald scored his 100th career touchdown on one of the most impressive plays of the weekend when he had to bend his body backwards to catch the Carson Palmer pass. The boldest call of the first NFL Sunday has to go to Jaguars former head coach Jack Del Rio, who let his Oakland Raiders offense go for two in the final moments of their game in New Orleans. He was rewarded for that call when Derek Carr found Michael Crabtree to convert the two-point conversion and complete the Raiders' comeback win over the Saints. And rounding up the AFC South, the Tennessee Titans lost to Minnesota 25-16. DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry combined for just 18 carries and 45 yards in the loss, while Mariota attempted 41 passes. Indianapolis fell at home to Detroit despite Andrew Luck throwing four touchdowns, including a go-ahead connection with tight end Jack Doyle with just 37 seconds left in the game. Matthew Stafford led the Lions right back down the field, and Matt Prater kicked a go-ahead field goal for them in that one, and the Lions recorded a safety on the ensuing kickoff as the Colts lateraled the ball backwards into their own end zone to give Detroit a 39-35 win. Houston, the only AFC South team that won yesterday, beating Chicago 23-14. New running back Lamar Miller rushed for 106 yards in the win, and this year's first-round draft pick wide receiver Will Fuller caught five passes for 107 yards and touchdown in his Texans debut.
Yeah, Matt Prater is damn glad he made that field goal after missing the extra point. Made it a one-point lead for the Indianapolis Colts in that situation. John Osier joins us now from Jaguars.com. What's up? How are you?
Good. Are we on the air yet or not?
We are on the air, yeah.
Like on TV?
No. They don't.
Not yet?
Not us.
Not yet, huh?
No, I don't think that's happening.
Oh, really? Okay.
I think just official, quote, Jaguar programming. So despite the many tweets I get indicating that I'm on the payroll,
right?
And once again, I guess I need to state this for the first time for the new season. I receive zero actual dollars directly from the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm not on the payroll, unlike John Osier, who is on the payroll. That doesn't mean you don't have your own objective point of view about things. Let me just, before we move on to the Jags, because we got a lot to talk to, I had some fun stats from the first weekend of the NFL.
I think
this will be fun. All right, this is from the NFL Communications. Four games decided by exactly 1 point yesterday. It's the first time in NFL history that four games have been decided by exactly 1 point on kickoff weekend, so you got that going for you. Carson Wentz and Dak Prescott each made their first career start. That's nine straight years that a rookie quarterback has started on kickoff weekend. That's the longest streak of the Super Bowl era. The Chiefs, in extending their regular season winning streak to 11 yesterday, overcame a 21-point deficit. They're the first team in NFL history to extend a winning streak of at least 10 games with a 21-plus point comeback.
In franchise history, too.
Biggest comeback in franchise history. Jalen Richard had a 75-yard rushing touchdown on the first carry of his NFL career for the Oakland Raiders. I'm assuming that's the first guy to do it on his first carry, but he's only one of four guys total now who've had a 75-yard touchdown run in the first game, never mind their first carry. So good for him. Fascinated me. Andrew Luck passed the 15,000-yard mark yesterday. Okay, second fastest in league history. Matt Stafford did it three games quicker, 53 games. 56 games, second best. He ties Dan Marino, no surprise. Kurt Warner, no surprise. And everybody had Mark Bulger as the other guy who got there that quick. That's pretty amazing. Shows you how good the Greatest Show on Turf offense was with Mike Martz.
If you think about it, to when Bulger was playing, it's not a shocking stat, but it's just kind of a crazy thing. It does show you that some quarterbacks do tail off.
Some systems produce ridiculous results, you know, and Mike Martz had it going, in terms of passing yardage back in the day. Also, you know, it was critical because he didn't get his quarterback protected very much, right? And that's ultimately...
it was the old thing. When he had a special guy, they won big, which was Warner.
Right, and Warner was fearless. Right. Warner would stand in there to the last second. You had to be willing to do that. Bulger was not built to do that long term.
Right.
Surprisingly, he made it that long to put up $15,000. That's their issue. What'd you make your initial impression today after a night to sleep on it about the Jags play yesterday?
Well, I mean, it's we're getting to the point where what happened yesterday isn't good enough, and that's a good thing. But if you can't see progress and you can't see it, I hate to even use the word progress, but if you can't see real hope and real ability and a real chance for this team to be good this year, then I think you missed a lot of things yesterday. But at the same time, it was a game. In the NFL, games come down to two or three plays. And at the end of the game, the Jaguars didn't make enough of those plays to win. And I think you're going to see more and more games now that this team has reached a talent level where it's on a par with, I think, most of the rest of the league. I think you're going to see more games like that come down to the one or two key plays. And, you know, they didn't make it at the end.
As many have pointed out in many formats since the end of that game yesterday, that, yes, if the Jags go on and they win – they're winnable, you know, going forward. If this cycle doesn't continue to repeat itself, oh, close but no cigar, sure. Right? Then yeah, then I think you can look. So I think you can look back.
You have to go do it. I mean, it is truly a week to week league in the sense that if they could easily go out and if they don't play well against San Diego, they're going to get beat. This week truly means nothing. So it's great to sit there and say, yeah, it was a good team yesterday. They did a lot of things. If they play that well, if they play as well as they did yesterday against every team on the schedule, I think they win 9 or 10 games.
Exactly. And if they go out and
that's not anything close to a given.
If they win the next three games, which I think they – honestly, I look at these teams that they're playing, and I realize they just had one game each apiece as well. But if I think they should win each of these next three games. That's my personal opinion. I think
I've said since day one they need to get through the first 4-2-2.
Okay, but the point being, if they go out and win their next share, the next however many coming up, we'll look back and say, okay, Green Bay was an indicator of, man, we wish we could have got the win, but that should have shown you right then we were coming to play. Now, if they go out and they go 1-4 or something to start the season, and then you look back and say, well, that's an indicator of close but no cigar, and I think that's fair, and we don't know exactly what the implications of that game are going to be other than the fact that they've got an L.
Well, I need to see the next three or four games to really make a judgment on what yesterday was. Well, yeah, of course we do. But we don't have three or four games.
Right.
What we have is yesterday. And I thought there were so many things that you pick apart about a game. But I thought the biggest thing that was impressive was, in my mind, this is still a young team that is learning what each other are, meaning you have a lot of new faces, young guys. And I think when you look back at this time, it'll still be perceived as a time when this team was coming together, right? So there were at least two or three chances yesterday for the Packers to get away from this team. Early on, in years past, that interception early in the touchdown would not have created a scenario where the Jaguars take the lead twice in the first half. So that was a good sign to me. And then the second half, I'm kind of writing in the second half, so I'm watching 75% of the game, writing 25%. For about 15, 20 minutes, it felt like the Packers were getting away. It felt like it was going to turn into a 10-point where all of a sudden they're doing the throw at the end of the game thing, and it didn't. It never got outside a score.
Yeah, because they stiffened up and held them to field goals, which you give credit
for doing.
And in
the fourth quarter, two pretty extended drives under pressure to stay in it, to give themselves a chance, the two fourth-quarter drives I'm talking about. So it didn't come out to where they won the game, but I think they did some things that showed some maturity as a team that if they continue to do those things, are going to be impressive.
All right, quickly, any update that you can share on Chris Ivory for Jagger fans who are concerned about him?
Not beyond what we heard yesterday, but I really haven't had a chance to dig around on that, to be honest with you.
Okay, nothing new on Chris Ivory as of right now. Hopefully we'll get more clarity when Gus speaks later on this afternoon on that. All right, so there you have it. 641-1010 if you'd like to get in with John Osier. You're welcome to do that. Text line continuing to get blown up, and that's fine. You can tweet us at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at John Osier. And don't forget the question of the day out there on social media is just simply after a night to sleep on it, what is your reaction now to the Jags' performance yesterday against the Green Bay Packers? Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, John Osier here with you on a Wild West Guns of Gold Monday. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
This is the quarterback here, Jacksonville Jaguars, Blake Bortles, and you are listening to Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
All right, we'll get back to your phone calls momentarily. We've got John Osier in studio here with us, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony. It's Jaguars Today on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Wild West is North Florida's largest dealer of firearms and accessories, everything from revolvers to sporting arms and anything you can imagine in between, rifles, shotguns, you name it, they've got it. Wild West Guns and Gold will meet or beat any gun shop's price in the USA, guaranteed. You can even, you know, trade your gold for guns at Wild West Guns and Gold. Guns4Jax.com. That's guns, the number four, JAX.com, or visit them on South Lane Avenue and check out their fine selection. Call 693-0777 for Wild West Guns and Gold, our Monday sponsor of Jaguars Today. Okay, John Osier, Jaguars.com senior writer. What did you think of the 4th-and-1 play call?
Well, we talked a little bit during the break. Fundamentally, I didn't like it. I've just grown up as a throw-beyond-the-sticks guy on 3rd and 4th down situations when failure means a punt or giving up the ball. I rewatched it last night. I see why they did it. I counted, it was very late. I think they had 7 in the box, Green Bay. They were coming hard. As Blake said, they're a bring-it-all team, or whatever word he used. They're a bring-the-house team in that situation. So the theory is you get Hearns on the outside. It looked like A-Rob may have been able to shield a little better than he did. It's hard to know from the play. It's hard to know what he was supposed to do. I get it. I get where that if he'd been able to shed a tackle, it's probably a touchdown. But, again, just philosophically, I'd rather see the ball beyond the sticks.
I'm with you. And I don't think it's any longer to develop. You know, that play, it's in your hands, you turn, you throw, right? Same thing. It's in your hands, you turn. Hey, Allen Robinson's taken 2 steps. He's turned his body inside. It's not going to take any longer to execute that play. I don't think it was a time issue.
That sort of play had worked on, I think it was 4th and 5 early when he got just beyond the sticks, Allen Robinson, and he caught it.
Caught it and kind of got hit
And that play, I can't remember if that was the 4th down conversion before that one or not, but the thinking may have been, well, we just did this. They're going to be ready for this. So we're gonna run this play off of it. I don't know. I hadn't had a chance to talk to anybody about it, but
right. You hate to crush them. At least I do. I can't speak for anybody else because they called so many successful 4th down plays that worked, right?
Right.
And they converted all these. It wasn't a matter of not having any play calling success. It's just when it boils down to that, the game's on the line. All those other ones, there was still time to overcome several of them anyway.
And I'm a big believer, and people get tired of me saying it, play calling, we can only judge it in retrospect. And typically I'm a big believer that if it works, you're a genius. If not, you're a fool. All that. But in that situation, again, philosophically, I like going beyond the sticks, but I kind of understand why.
Granted, look, if anything works, it works, right? But like I said before, I use an absurd example. If you're given the option to kick a 20-yard field goal or a 50-yard field goal and you choose the 50 and make it, it doesn't make it the right decision.
Right.
It means you got away with it, right? And sometimes you get away with it, and then that's fine because it is a bottom-line league. But anyway, so we'll move off that. Let's get a few calls in while we've got John Osier here and get his opinion on your questions as well. We will begin with Steve in St. Augustine up next. Hello, Steve. How are you?
Great. Hey, I was there yesterday, and it was hot, but, man, it was exciting. And it was especially nice to see the progress that the defense has made already. You know, that being said, you know, disappointed that Miles Jack didn't get on the field, and I think good teams are going to game plan around Jonathan Cyprien now. And I'd be interested in your guys' thoughts on, if not as a full-time replacement, maybe Miles Jack coming in during certain packages. It might help, too, to hear as, you know, Puz makes calls in the huddle and adjustments at the line of scrimmage. Thanks, and go Jags.
Okay, thank you, Steve. What about that? You know,
I think over time you're going to see Miles Jack in packages. But yesterday, honestly, I rewatched the game last night, and I watched the condense, which is the quick. I didn't watch the all 22, but I tried to go back and sort of get a feel. And I watched the linebacker play to see if Miles Jack should have been in the game. I watched the pass rush. I watched Sip, and I watched Jokel. Well, it was hard to see where Miles Jack being in the game would have made a big difference. I mean, because he wasn't going to play strong safety.
But I think that's his point. If he's such a good coverage guy and Cyprien is not, right, could we – forget yesterday. Going forward, could you create a package where, let's say if it's 3rd and 10 or longer, you bring him in and say, forget what you call the position. Your responsibility is to cover this guy.
it's an interesting concept. I haven't thought it through. Perhaps in passing situations, would you try something like that? Maybe. I still haven't heard that they're going to do that. But with Miles Jack, to get him on the field covering somebody, I think is something that at some point, remember a few years ago they did the lightning package because they needed pass rushers on the field and they put three Leos out there, which they usually wouldn't do. Would they do something like that with Miles Jack? Perhaps.
Yeah, the other extreme.
Within the framework yesterday of what Miles Jack knows about this defense, I don't think there was very much that you could play him where he would have improved them.
And that's the thing. Look, I got a tweet this morning, paraphrasing. Why would the Jaguars trade up in the second round to get a guy who's not good enough to play? Like, man, you know, my first thought, the first guy that popped my mind was, that guy we watched last night, David Johnson, he must have been terrible to not start for the first half of the year in his rookie campaign. Right. And then he came on like gangbusters. Not everybody's ready. And not everyone's ready to go out and dominate in their first game. Doesn't mean you won't turn. Why would you draft Aaron Rodgers only to sit him for 3 years?
Right, that was a horrible, horrible pick.
Terrible draft pick. Why would you spend a first round pick and waste 3 years with him on Aaron Rodgers? And I understand that, Brett Favre. But the point being, on a much smaller scale, Telvin Smith and Paul Posluszny weren't the issue, I didn't think, yesterday. I thought Telvin was excellent yesterday.
Telvin was, you know, whatever flaws Telvin has, Telvin did what he did well, extraordinarily well yesterday.
I thought he was playing with a chip on his shoulder. Yeah. You know, that tried cliche, but, I mean, I don't know if it was the talk or, you know, these guys hear more than they are willing to let on. Hey, Miles Jack could be coming for the weak side spot. Maybe he is, okay? Yeah. And if... Whatever the case, Telvin was a man possessed, I thought, yesterday. Steve, thank you for the call. Let's go to Desmond on the south side. Desmond, you're on Jaguars today. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are y'all, man?
Good, bud.
Yesterday, I was down there at the game, and I was at the prowl, and as the team was coming out, I seen the referees coming out, and they was just looking and smiling. So I just want to know, is that saying that, I think the Green Bay Packers paid the referees off yesterday. But I also like to get on that play calling by Greg Olsen. I would like to see a halfback dive if he's going to have to throw the ball behind the line of scrimmage like 2 yards. I'd rather just see a mid draw or something like that. I mean, besides doing the wide receiver screen, that was real pointless. But all in all, it was a pretty good game, though. And I'd rather lose a game like that coming down to a wire to a Super Bowl caliber team. And then losing to a sorry team, you know, but it's just, we in the right direction, so I just hope we tighten up, though, and go down.
All right, thank you. I'm going to take that as hyperbole and disgust with some of the bad calls that went down yesterday.
I thought the officials were bad yesterday.
Yes, but I don't think the Green Bay Packers exchanged any cash with the referees.
No, I doubt that happened, but we can look it up on the Honda Drive around the NFL, maybe see that happen.
Yeah, tomorrow. So, that'll be at tomorrow's lead story.
We talked about Sip, and obviously he's a topic. I thought the pass interference call against him.
Terrible.
Yeah. And then to sort of phrase it another way, I don't think had he been wearing a Packers uniform yesterday that he called if he'd done it to A-Rob. I mean, not saying Packers uniform had anything to do with it, but I thought A-Rob, there were two or three situations. You know me. I've been doing this show with you for 2 years. I don't come in here very often to talk about officiating.
None of us try to because it sounds
think
like
that
whiny
it's sort of a
stuff.
Thing that plays itself out. I do think as physical as Allen Robinson is, defensive backs have to play him physically. And at some point, he has to get the calls that he's supposed to get.
Well, my initial, again, because I've said this a billion times, we hear the call. Then we see the play because we're in a bit of a delay in the studio. And so when I hear pass interference on Sip, I'm just like, God, Sip, come on, man. And then I watch and I'm like, wait a minute, let me see a replay on that.
By the letter of the law, you could call pass interference on that one, but you could also not.
That was ticky. Yeah. I mean, he got his head turned around. Right. I mean, did he have his hand touching Jared Cook? Maybe. Jared Cook came right through his helmet. Yeah, it came right through his head.
You know, you often... officials tried to officiate it with, could the guy have done anything not to have the penalty, if that makes any sense. I don't know what else Cyprian could have done to avoid that penalty. Like, I think he played it right. I don't know how I guess I put it this way. I don't know what you would coach him to do differently in that situation.
All right, let's get another one in. Desmond, thank you for the call. Sean is in St. Mary's, Georgia, next up on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Sean.
Hey, good morning, guys. I want to talk about, well, I think Osier hit the head about the officiating, you know, and my man Malik, when he got that personal foul, I got to hand it to Cobb. Cobb is a veteran receiver. He knew what he was doing, you know, and he knew he was going to get a face mask penalty on that and provoking another player. And, oh, my gosh, he got, what, the first down on the falling play after offsetting penalties?
Yeah.
Right. It would have been
I kind of watched that
third
last
and extremely
night.
Long.
You know, it's not like Malik absolutely floored him.
Pushed him in the chest. Like, so much worse goes on than that.
Yeah.
Let's call that unnecessary roughness. Cobb basically looked like to me threw a shoulder into his chest.
Yeah.
The referee's watching that.
It was sort of a classic second guy.
Totally. But Malik can't do that either.
Right, he can't. I mean, I kind of wrote during the game, boy, that was just silly. And I mean, and then when I watched it, I was like, yeah, you can't do it, but is it that big?
I didn't think it was that big a deal, but once you put your hands and push that guy, you're putting
right.
in the hands of the referee.
Yeah.
If he didn't react to it, at worst, it's the face mask call,
right.
and possibly you get an additional penalty
right.
on Cobb. I don't think you're going to in that circumstance.
I guess the right way to phrase it wasn't as blatantly bad as I thought it was when I first saw it, but you still can't do it.
Let's get Caleb in on the north side next on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Caleb.
How you doing? I have a question. Well, I have a comment about the offense. I was glad to see the tight ends get involved. But as I watch the game, it seems like that the same thing that Joker struggles with is with the power. Like, he just struggles with power rushes. And every time it's like this, he's getting pushed back into the backfield. I'm just wondering what your comment on that is.
Yeah. I watched Joku yesterday, and I watched him last night after I got home. I thought it was the old thing with him. I thought he had a couple of plays where that happened. I didn't really see where he was atrocious in that game, and I thought he ran blocked, however you say it. I thought he run blocked very, very well for the most part early
on. I'll take your word for it. I haven't focused in on.
I didn't absolutely watch every all 68 plays and you know the whole thing, but. Early on, the interior run blocking was very, very good, and he was a big part of that. It fell off in the second half.
Yeah, something fell off because we brought this up, and no one's saying the running game was good, but I didn't think T.J. Yeldon was bad yesterday.
No, I didn't either.
I thought T.J. got hit. I mean, there were a couple of those occasions like, what is this guy supposed to do? He's got a guy on him 5 yards deep in the backfield.
Yeah, I didn't think he left a whole lot of yards out there.
Right, exactly.
And it was a little hard to tell exactly what was going wrong. I mean, the Packers blitzed their way into some stops that I thought were good calls on their part. But, yeah, you're not going to win. This team is not going to win rushing for 1.8 a carry.
Very few teams are going to win doing that. But I didn't think it was specifically a Yeldon issue yesterday.
It rarely is.
Let's get one more in before we break. Richard in Ponte Vedra up next. Hello, Richard.
How's it doing?
Good.
Hey, yesterday – at the game, I have my 5-year-old daughter, and I've taken in years past, you know, but every time we would go deep, she would stand up and point at the ball, freaking out like it's a flying saucer, and a catch, and everybody, she would go nuts. She was high-fiving everybody. Even after the game, we go to a gas station, and there's Jaguar fans. Oh, there's a Jaguar fan, Dad. And she wanted to go high-five everybody. People bought her ice cream. Because she was so excited for the Jaguars. And I didn't get that growing up. You know, we got the Jaguars when I was in high school. And it's just exciting for me to watch her and everybody else get fired up. I mean, yeah, we lost, and it did suck. But, dude, how exciting is it?
Well, I'm glad you feel that way, man. I'm glad your kid had
a great
experience.
I'll be honest with you. I was at the town center on Saturday.
Did you high-five his dog?
No, I was running around excited, and nobody bought me ice cream.
I buy you ice cream, man.
I try it all the time.
I think that's great, but as Dan Hicken said this morning, that generation of kids right now, who's like 8 and 9, they've known a lot of losing in the time they've been aware of what it's about. Don't lose, you know, turn this around now and tell them, hey, it's not just about the game day experience. It's about it's so much better if you combine all that. And, hey, we actually pulled the game out. We
won the football
game. Winning is better.
The new motto should be, Jaguars football. Jaguars more than free ice cream.
Jag should win. That's my motto.
I feel like, yeah, I think Jaguars fans today, I don't see anything wrong with feeling good about some of the things you saw in that game yesterday. I think you should absolutely be disappointed that they lost that football game with the way that it played out. It was a huge opportunity for them to win. That doesn't mean you can't still feel good about the progress you saw from your football team, but there should be a level of disappointment after that loss.
All right, we'll come back, take a look at the fan feedback spotlight, asking you after a night to sleep on it, how do you feel about the performance of your Jacksonville Jaguars on opening weekend against the Green Bay Packers? Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, John Osier here with you. It's Jaguars Today live in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studio here at Everbank Field on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Folks, the NFL season not quite done yet, as we've got Monday Night Football a little double dip. But as you're sitting back tonight watching your final fantasy points tally up, ask yourself, did I make the right decisions this week? If you're in a season-long league, you may have made some decisions in your draft that have basically cost you the next 4 months, and it's over for you. Maybe you picked the wrong guy. Maybe you had Keenan Allen. He's going to be done for the year, something along those lines. Maybe you had Rob Gronkowski, and he couldn't play for you week one. But you don't have that problem at FanDuel. FanDuel.com is weekly. Every week you can start with a new team. You pick. You play the matchups. Every contest out there has something for somebody. They've got beginners out there for new players only. If you're brand new, you can settle a score with a friend in a head-to-head. 50-50 contests just ask you to beat half the field, and you're going to win cash. Sign up at FanDuel.com. Use promo code Mike, and you're going to get 5 free entries, up to $50 worth of free entries. New users new deposit will get those 5 to 50-50 contests, one per week, 5 weeks in a row. Go to FanDuel.com, click the Join Now button, use my promo code Mike. That's FanDuel.com. Promo code Mike, void where prohibited.
Jaguars Daily is brought to you by Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the official sports medicine provider for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
The Jaguars' fifth consecutive season opening loss was disappointing, as Green Bay did escape with a 27-23 victory. Now, Jacksonville Mayor Lenny Curry called into the fifth quarter last night on 1010XL and 92.5 FM and said he was impressed with the way the Jaguars played.
There are no moral victories, I agree with that, but it's the beginning of the season. Right. Everybody's got to take a deep breath. This isn't the time to nitpick this little play and that little play. We just competed with the Packers. And if we want to nitpick, let's see where we are after four games.
Now the Jags prepare to head to San Diego in week two. Kickoff is set for 4:25 Eastern on Sunday. This has been Jaguars Daily, brought to you by JOI. I'm Jordan DeArmond.
Make Monday feel like game day with Postgame Monday.
We got the W. That's all that matters. A big one.
Expert analysis of Sunday's game all day. Brought to you by Dandy Foods, home of the classic Cuban. Everybody loves a classic on 1010XL. Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
I think this whole game, this whole day, you know, we had a lot of confidence. We were doing good things. We were working hard. You know, we got them in the third and long. Just got to be smarter with penalties, and that falls on me because I had a few penalties out there. I think we did good. You know, we held them. We gave more points than we would like to, but I guess a team like that, you know, I think it is what it is, you know. So it was okay. Hopefully you want to get out the win, but, you know, we live to fight another week.
That's Malik Jackson following his Jaguar debut yesterday. We'll have to fight 15 more weeks at least this season. This is some of the Facebook feedback we got today on the question of the day. We've been running out of time and not getting to these guys lately. That's on me. Brad said, well, on one hand, I'm glad we nearly beat the Packers. I recognize the caliber of the team they are. I'm tired of this moral victory talk. They're both NFL teams. Jags aren't anybody's little brother trying to just keep up with the big brother. They're professional athletes playing against other professional athletes for one purpose, to win football games. I'm not sure where he's hearing the moral victory talk. Maybe
it's from other fans.
In the fan, right.
Because it's certainly not coming out of that locker room.
It's not coming out of the locker room. It's not coming out of us. Right. You know, there are times and occasions even professional athletes can have moral victories. Whether you want to admit it or not, this isn't one of those times. This is not the state that this talent level on this roster is.
The impression I got in the locker room was, yes, they knew that game showed that this is a better team than it has been, meaning the Jaguars. But I didn't get any sense of anybody being remotely satisfied. And there were several guys who I used to talk to after games who were clearly as upset and as determined going forward as I've ever seen them. I didn't see a moral victory tone yesterday.
Couple more here. Tony said, disappointed but hopeful. Coaches should have coached up the receivers early in the game that if we weren't going to get the interference calls, they should fight off the hand check sooner to get more separation running game, more draws and counters, less toss sweeps.
I guess.
Sure. All right. Let's move on from that one. Damon, Packers gave Jags mad respect. They didn't think the Jags were going to put up that type of fight. They messed up the 4th-and-1 call, held Rodgers to 199. Watch him get more than that on every other team they play. Pass rush, please come forth. I miss you. Here's one from Garrett. No moral victories. Yes, we played well and didn't give up, but we didn't win. I don't want to start down the path of we suck less than we did last year. Let's see. Refs let AR-15 get mugged all day, said Kenneth. This is true. Still ill about the last play call, said Kent. This one's on the offense, says Daniel. The defense played well enough to win. Offense didn't get enough touchdowns. Not going to beat a good team with a good offense by kicking field goals. Although Tony Smith did tell you it was going to be 27-23.
Yeah, that was my pick.
He did. I had 31-27.
I really wanted to be long.
I thought
long
that
right
they were going to score there and then go for two just because, just to hit my number at the end there, John, but they didn't do that. Tommy said, get above 500. This team can make the playoffs. Let's see. Connor said, keep stacking up the moral victories. I think he's being sarcastic.
Yeah, a little sarcasm there. There you go, Connor.
And then Chad said, I am pissed and still am. QB sneak, WTH. Tony, I'm not young. What is WTH?
What the hell?
What the heck? They spelled heck wrong.
I did.
All right, that's fine. That's what some of what you got on Facebook today. Anything stand out to you on Twitter?
I mean, it's a bunch of the same stuff, yes. Right? Complaints about the 4th-and-1 play call. A lot of people, again, I think fans have a reason to be optimistic about this team after watching the effort yesterday, but that doesn't mean you have to feel good about the fact that they lost that game. It's a game that, with the offense coming on the field with 3 minutes left, I thought they were going to win the football game.
Yeah.
I really did. I thought they were going to win. So you got that and a lot about the pass rush as well and the insanity. Stop. If you want to send it to anybody else in the station, if they're giving you some kind of positive reaction to it, that's fine. Stop sending me anything about Greg Hardy. I will not support Greg Hardy being a member of this Jaguars, even if you think it'll help the pass rush. I don't care about an NFL team's pass rush enough to want Greg Hardy in a Jaguars uniform. So please, you can send it to anybody else that may be reacting to that with you. I don't want it anymore.
At 1010XL,
you just
Pat
do
Tony,
your Greg Hardy on.
In the sand.
It's right there.
No Greg Hardy.
All right.
But I enjoy Tony getting these tweets that upset him, so please send them to Tony.
I'll probably email him.
At 1010XL Fat Tony. I don't think Tony. How do you block people on Twitter?
I've never blocked anyone.
I got enough covered for both of us. All right.
I've been tempted, but I've never blocked anyone.
You know, I don't mind disagreeing with opinions. But if you accuse me of just basically getting a talking points memo and telling you what the Jaguars want to hear, I don't know what you're listening to. But whatever. That's your prerogative. It's my prerogative to send you off into the Twitter ether, to never to be heard from again. How about that? Johnny O, final thoughts for you as we wrap up today. First post-game Jaguars today of the season.
Well, the team has gotten to the point where we're again talking about being angry over a play call at the end of the game. And that means it's a team that can compete this season. I think it's a team showed yesterday. It's a team that can compete to win 8, 9, 10 games. If it plays well, if things go right, I think overall there should be a feeling of hope for fans. And, yeah, they should be ticked off because that one hurt.
We didn't mention him today, which is usually a good thing, but I just would like to point out J.P. Shatter did a phenomenal job.
Good.
Yeah, yes. And secondly, I'd like to add Fred Taylor, the way we do the player of the game voting, J.P. gets a vote, I get a vote, and in case we all split, Fred gets a vote and a half, so we're going to go with Fred. And even though I mentioned him as an honorable mention, Fred picked Jason Myers as player of the game. Let's give him at least a little bit. I mean, he did his job. It's not like he did what he was supposed to do. But for a guy who I would say over 50% of the fan base does not think is the guy, right, to come through, make all his kicks, including a 50-yarder, and not just sneak him in. I thought he kicked very well.
And Myers and Nortman, you know, kept him in the game.
Here's the last one from Tyler. Jags and the Colts have each trailed by 10 or more points in the first half 27 times since 2012, tied for most in the National Football League.
There you go.
All right, Jags.
There you go.
Successful. Successful. And I've already put it out there, John, because I kind of get the same sense that you do. You know, listening to those guys after the game yesterday, I think it was a healthy reaction to that kind of loss from this locker room. And I think it's one of the best reactions for this kind of game that we've seen from this team. I've already put it out there. I do. I think they beat San Diego by 2 touchdowns this weekend. I'm really confident about this team bouncing back.
Well, you are confident. I certainly don't think that the – I don't think this is the same team that has struggled so much in this situation before.
Wow. I'm looking, by the way, Tyler, this chart you sent me, does that indicate the Indy's record in the games that they fell behind 27 times by 10 or more, that they won 62% of those games?
62% winning percentage. So they're the comeback kings.
62% of those games. The Jags
have won. Overrated.
Jags have won 21% of those games in which they've trailed by 10 or more, which is worst in the league of anyone in terms of percentage of overcoming, even though they've had more to overcome as
a percentage. Heck, Luck took a lead in that kind of game yesterday again with 37 seconds left.
I'm so glad.
That's been their MO for the last 3 or 4 years.
So glad that Detroit came down the field. Matt Stafford was regulating. I don't know if you did watch the last drive. I mean, what is Marvin Jones thinking? Run out of bounds. What is that? What is everyone thinking yesterday? Right. If you watch it, who am I thinking of?
Terrence Williams.
Terrence Williams. Thank you, Tony. You knew exactly what I was
talking
about.
Oh, I know what's up.
In the Dallas game. What are you doing? Just run right to the sideline. Give your kicker a chance. Unbelievable. All right. At least we're not beating up the kicker today, right?
So
Jason Myers' dad may tune in tomorrow. Yes. Live to kick another day.
No, good for him.
All right, Johnny O. What do you have coming up on Jaguars.com?
We'll cover the Gus Bradley press conference today. And
open locker room after that.
Open locker room and move ahead.
All right, my man.
Get this thing going.
We'll probably catch up with you later in the week.
Look forward to it.
Thank you for stopping in. John Oger from Jaguars.com, the senior writer there. Thanks to all of you out there for listening and giving us feedback as well in the many venues that you're able to do that on social media, on the phone lines, and what have you. For Tyler Devitt and Joe Fortunato, for Fat Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey. That does it for us on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Thanks to all our great sponsors. We appreciate them. They're the ones who enable us to keep coming back day after day. Jeff Loggeman in studio with us tomorrow from 10 to noon, and we'll take a deeper look at the film out of this game. Check the Tape Tuesday. Well, that's a good one. It's a Check the Tape Tuesday on Jaguars Today. Someone ought to market that. All right, that does it for us. I'm Mike Dempsey. We're out of here. Coming up next, Midday Chalk on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Hey, folks, Mike Dempsey here for Dandy Foods. Something that's always going to come through in the clutch, always going to convert on that late drive. That's Dandy. Man, when you're hungry and you're short on time, you don't need any timeouts. You head right to the local Circle K or the local Kangaroo Express. You head right to the Fresh Case because that's where Dandy products are kept. Fresh Case. They're always fresh. They're always delicious. Quality products, many of them made right here locally. A Flowers Baking Company does the bread. They do an outstanding job. Dandy in the Anytime Deli line of sandwiches, subs, now new light wraps for lunch, breakfast sliders. Yeah, they got those too. And for $3 for a pair, you're not going to find a better deal for food on the go anywhere in Jacksonville or anywhere else for that matter. Dandy, the Thompson family created them over 60 years ago, and they're still going strong. Support a local company who supports the local sports scene and delivers a quality product at a price that you're going to fall in love with. That's Dandy and the Anytime Deli line, folks. When you're hungry, do what I do. Go out and make yours a Dandy and do it today.
You guys have a good day. Peace.